You might think that the hope of the world is found in a political leader. It is not. And it doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter who the leader of Russia is. It doesn't matter who the leader of Israel is. Now, I'll get some comments on that. God is the one that makes the difference. He's the hope of the world. And without Jesus, there is no hope. It's not the family that you're born into. And I thank the Lord for these kids that are being raised up in Christian families and have the opportunity to be able to come and study the Bible and to sit around their supper table and ask the blessing on the food and have food on their table. But I'm telling you, folks, that's not the hope of the world. And I'm thankful for Christian schools and for young people who are trained up in a godly way. I'm thankful for those things. But that's not the hope of the world. Reforming folks from being alcoholics and prostitutes and drug addicts is not the hope of the world. Are you hearing me today? Without Jesus, the reformed prostitute will spend eternity in a devil's hell. Without Jesus, the reformed dope addict will spend eternity in a devil's hell. Without Jesus, the sweetest granny that ever made the best apple pie that you ever put your teeth in will spend eternity in a devil's hell without the hope of Jesus. Amen. He is the hope of the world. Young people, He is your hope. It's not in education. Get all the education you can get. But the hope of the world is not in education. It is not in how much money you can put in the bank or how much junk you can gather around you. The hope of the world is Jesus Christ. Those that have fallen in sin and their lives have been crushed and destroyed. It is the hope of Jesus that will put that back together. Are you hearing me today? It is the hope of Jesus, and Jesus is the hope of the world, and He's the only hope. Brothers and sisters, you need to get hold of Him and hang on for all you're worth. He'll take you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you won't have to fear any evil. He'll take you through the death of your parents, and you'll make it. He'll take you through the death of your children, and you'll make it. He'll take you through the loss of your job, and you'll make it. He'll take you through cancer, and you'll make it. He'll take you through the tomb and on the other side of the grave, and you'll make it if you're holding on to Him. And there's not anything else that'll give that promise. I was reading this week about the death of one of the Rockefellers. And someone was talking with his financial steward. And he said, "How much did he leave?" He said, "Oh, he left it all. He left it all. So will you. So will you." At one time we were without hope. Look at Ephesians 2 and verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. I hope that you understand the doctrinal issue of this verse. You have not always been saved. Now, young people, you get me this morning. You're in one of two categories. You are either lost and on your way to hell, or you are saved and on your way to heaven. And it is the same young or old who are here today. And you can say, well, I'm a pretty good guy and I'm better than the guy next to me. But you're in one of those two categories. Either you're on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. And there's not going to be a judgment sometimes where there's some kind of balance for you to be able to put your good works in this thing over here and everything you've done bad in this scale over here. And if this one outweighs this one, you'll go to heaven. The Bible does not teach that. This verse says that you and I were without hope. You know, it was not so hard for me to understand that I was without hope. My family never darkened church house door. Never. Never darkened the church house door. Well, I'll say never. The lady, Aunt Hattie Angle, picked me and my brother up and took us one time to Sunday school at Gilbert, and she never picked us up again. I always wondered why. You're without hope if you do not know Christ. And that's what this verse says. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, and having, help me church, having no hope and without God in the world. Aliens, strangers, having no hope, without God. That's where we were. But you see, God sent His Son to be the hope of the world. You know, I believe all those other things about Christmas that we've talked about all, but I am more excited about the hope than I am anything else. One last verse. Matthew 11. You know what's going on in Matthew 11? Don't you like John the Baptist? Boy, I could see us having him for a revival, couldn't you? He'd come in, girded about his loins with leather girdle and smelling like the outdoors. Like the campfire he had going the night before. He spoke the truth, and they put him in prison. You think just because we're good Christian people and we speak the truth that it's going to keep us out of trouble with the authorities? It won't do it. I think that our young people are going to face something that you and I have never faced. You and I may face it, I don't know. But I really believe that our young people are going to face it. You're either going to turn from Christ and reject Him, or you're going to be persecuted like you have never thought of before. You think that that's some kind of, that they're making those tales up when they say that the ISIS leaders are cutting those kids' head off in front of their parents? To try to get their parents to renounce Christ and try to get those kids to renounce Christ. You think they're making those stories up? They are not. And the scripture talks about how that persecution will come in the last days. And we're involved in the midst of that. I tell you what, parents, you better get your kids where they know what the Bible says and are able to hang on to it. And some of you kids are thinking, man, I don't want to hear this. You know, really, it doesn't matter whether I say it or somebody else says it or no one says it. Doesn't make it any less the truth. But anyway, I don't know why I said all that. I was talking about John the Baptist. So they put him in jail because he stood up for the truth, and he told the king, or the leader, you're not supposed to have your brother's wife. It's about time that the church stood up and said the pastor behind the pulpit's not supposed to have but one. Amen? I didn't think I'd get many amens out of that, but surely some of you, as long as I've preached this, believe that. And the deacon, who is the leader of the church, is not to have but one. Do you believe it? I mean, that's what the Bible says. We might as well just take it and pitch it out the door if we're not going to hang on to that. I didn't mean to say that. Come on. John the Baptist had stood for the truth, and he was in prison. He got pretty discouraged. You know, I can't imagine John being discouraged, can you? I mean, you see this old mountain man who had taken the Nazarite vow, and he'd not cut his beard or cut his hair, and he was, he was out there. And they had him in jail. And they was getting ready to cut his head off. You know why? You know, they could have slapped him on the back of the hand and said, now, John, we're going to turn you loose if you won't say anything else. Do you know why they cut John's head off? Because they knew if they, the minute he hit the ground, he'd hit it preaching and telling the truth. And he wasn't going to change his mind about what the truth was and what right was and what wrong was. But he got discouraged. And he sends a message to Jesus. Boy, I like this. I couldn't hardly wait to get to this part. I think it's the very best part. He sent messengers to Jesus. Now, come on. Think back. Jesus had come around the hillside. John was baptizing in the Jordan River. And he was preaching and baptizing. And he was telling them how the cow ate the cabbage. And here comes Jesus. John looks up and sees him. You see, you and I need to be operating in this realm of the Spirit leading us, of the Spirit looking through our eyes. And he said, look, boys, look! The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm not even worthy to bow down and take his shoes off. And John baptized him in Jordan. Now he's in prison for preaching the truth. And he sent his disciples to him. You get it? Are you the one? Or should we look for another? You think you're the only one that's been discouraged and the old devil's got on your shoulder and tried to convince you the truth wasn't the truth? And maybe it didn't do you any good to stay with the stuff and preach what was right and believe what was right. Maybe if you just give in a little bit on the job or do this or do that, or maybe give in to that temptation that's been coming your way, and perhaps that would just be better. You think you're the only one that's ever faced that? And John was discouraged as he was in prison, and he sent his disciples and said, are you the one? Or should we look for another? I can't hardly wait to read this. I'm going to read it because I might misquote it. I might read the wrong verse. I've done that before. 11, look at verse 3. and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Oh, I love him. I love him. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let's stand together. What about it? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the truth? If you can just make it through these next few seconds and get out the door, maybe it won't bother you so bad. Or will you do what God's leading you to do? Do you know him as Savior? Now listen to me today. You cannot know him without asking amen. Now you can do that anywhere you're at. You can do it out sitting on a stump or going down the road in a car. Or you can do it anywhere you're at. You can do it here. You could do it now. You could invite Jesus into your heart as Savior, and your life could be changed. Perhaps you need to recommit your heart and your life to him today. Perhaps the Lord's doing with your heart to become a part of this fellowship today, and we want to give you an opportunity to do that. So Brother Matt's going to lead us. Our musician's going to be there. And if you don't need, maybe you just need to come to this altar and pray. Maybe you don't need to talk to me, but if you need to talk to me, you come to me. As we sing, you come.